Blog Talk Radio.
Communicate across the sky until you hear the message sent through sound and light, so have no fear.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Sportsmonger Show. This is Jason. I'll be your host for the next 30 to 45 minutes. My partner Brian Steffen will be on the air shortly as he is dialing in as we speak. Tonight's show is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do a little baseball talk tonight since spring training is right around the corner. And I do believe the man of the hour has just dialed in. Hold on. Is he here? Is Brian with us tonight?
I'm here, buddy. How you doing this evening? Sorry about that. Apparently my laptop didn't want to communicate with my headset, so I had to dial in on the phone. So technical issue this evening. Sorry about that.
I feel you on that one.
Yeah. So, happy to be here. Hope it sounds okay. Fighting a little sinus cold and affect the infection, but I think we'll be all right. Excited to change gears tonight in our conversation. You and I are both, as people will find out quickly, we are both diehard baseball fans. And pitchers and catchers started reporting today in some teams. Pretty much the rest of them come in this weekend. So it's time to talk a little bit of baseball. Before we get into that, as always, tonight's show is brought to you by MyrtleBeachGolf.net. That's MyrtleBeachGolf.net. Some of the best golf packages you're going to find in Myrtle Beach. We actually have a new special where you're going to get, for every round of golf booked, per player, you're getting five per round of golf per player off your package. So you get a bunch of guys together, come down and play it. And you play a bunch of rounds of golf and get a lot of money back. So it's a great option. See Scott and the guys over there. It's MyrtleBeachGolf.net or call them up at 877-705-2295 and tell them that SportsMonger sent you and they'll hook you guys up. So, pitchers and catchers. If we want to look at our two teams, your team should have another pretty good year. My team, well, should just have another season. So,
I've been there for 20 years, brother. I know all about it.
Yeah. So, my beloved Philadelphia Phillies are in rebuilding mode. And in all honesty, last year I was just hoping that we wouldn't lose 100 games. This year I actually am excited to see a lineup filled with young guys just going at it. And maybe they're going to win some. They're probably going to lose a lot. But it'll be fun to see some of their young talent develop. We'll start breaking down teams and divisions and leagues and all that stuff, you know, deeper into spring training. I don't think we're quite ready to do that yet. We were talking broad topic today. You called me earlier in the week. And you're 630 miles away, and I can see you on your soapbox.
You think?
When you called me, I could see you. I could tell I could tell you were higher in the altitude when we were on the phone. I could tell you were on your soapbox. So, and the topic was salary cap or lack of salary cap or salaries in Major League Baseball. And you wanted to talk about one, Bryce Harper. So I will turn the floor over to you, my friend. Don't hold back. Tell me how you really feel about salaries in Major League Baseball.
Okay. It's simple. What spurred this whole conversation is and as I recall, Brian, when we talked, I didn't even say hello when you answered.
I no, didn't say, hey, Brian. I just went straight in. Now, let's talk about this. I mean, it was like the very first thing I said. Anyways, it's simple. I was sitting down eating lunch one particular day. Or no, it was based off of something I heard on ESPN. Okay, we'll just say one of those talk shows. And I had overheard one of the announcers stating that it was Mike Golic stating that Bryce Harper was more than likely going to get between $400 and $500 million on his next contract. Bryce Harper even came out and said, don't underestimate my next contract. So I tweeted out, and then I called you. I said, there is at no point in Major League Baseball is a $500 million contract good for a small market team, for a league that has so many small market teams. And you replied eloquently. You brought up a very valid point in the fact that it's not the dollar amount as it is the guaranteed contract. Correct? That was your argument with it, correct?
Yeah, it's not the...
So that was your argument, and I give you credit for that. It is a very good point. With that said... if the guaranteed contract to me doesn't, it does matter, and that contract and that part of the argument does hold water. Though if you don't have to pay a guy $40 million a year, a guaranteed contract really doesn't matter as much to me. The dollar amount matters when you've got more than half of the teams in the league that don't spend $150 million or spend $150 million or less. If you consider that dollar amount, let's just say that's the middle range. If you're paying one guy out of your 25-man roster, okay, $40 million. We'll just say 35 and call it okay. How do you field the rest of your team? How do you do it? How do you go out and get a when an average pitcher costs you $15 million, you got to have a couple of those. So now I'm at $70 million, and I'm at three players. And mind you, two of my average pitchers are going to get me 10 wins and going to lose me 12 games. I don't even have an ace pitcher yet. So my point is, when you start doing the math, that doesn't compute in a smaller market. And what further made my point, and I loved it, Buster Olney, 2 days later, comes out and says this. Kansas City Royals, their window of opportunity is closing. They may only have 2 years. This whole thought was spurred on by an article that Jason Stark writes every single year when in states that there is more parity in baseball than there is in football. There may in fact be more parity in baseball, meaning more different teams win. That could be correct. In football, though, there is more opportunity for every team to compete every single year, and that is indisputable. So that argument that he makes every year, as far as I'm concerned, all that does is make me want to grab my computer monitor and throw it through the window. So I'm now off my soapbox. I love ESPN. I think it's a wonderful medium. I think they do a lot of good work, and I even like Jason Stark. But for me, that article that he writes every single year, I think he just repeats it. I think he just pulls it out, throws it in, and presses play. That post that he writes every year is the most infuriating thing, and I thought I missed it. I thought I was lucky this year. I just missed it. And then I opened it up, and there it was, sticking out like a wart on the back of your hand that you thought went away, and oh my God, there it is again. I'd even compare it to herpes. That's
whoa,
where I am with
whoa.
That.
Whoa. Well, so, listen, there's not parity in baseball. And I'm a big Jason Stark fan,
there are
and I don't really know where he gets that, because,
well,
I mean...
And there are cycles. These smaller market teams, they go in cycles. So
right.
You have the Pirates that are going to compete for 4 or 5 years. You had Tampa Bay that competed for 4 or 5 years. You have Kansas City, who's done really well, but they're only going to compete for 4 or 5 years. And then the Indians
right.
are going to compete for 4 or 5 years. That's the parity that he talks about. But Tampa Bay doesn't have a chance in hell to compete this year. You know that as well as I do. The Washington Wild
they do,
have as good a chance to win the World Series this year as Tampa Bay does, and Washington is an independent league baseball.
Well, the thing is, every team has a chance.
No, they don't.
Except,
that's my point.
Well, every team has a chance when the season starts. Because you just
every
don't
team
know.
Has an
if
opportunity. They
if
don't have a chance.
Right, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. If every team has an opportunity, if their roster, if their 40-man roster they put together, like even let's extrapolate this out to the nth degree, the Philadelphia Phillies are going to be bad. Okay, they've got this big payroll because they're overpaying some old players. But they're going to be bad. But if every player on that squad has played to their maximum potential for 162 games, they can win the division and make the playoffs. But that's not going to happen. I mean, if they have a perfect storm season, you know, coming out of nowhere, they can win the NL East and go to the playoffs. It's just not going to happen. What you're talking about, teams having the opportunity to compete, is for longer than those short 3 or 4 or 5 year windows, because they brought up their kids at the right time. They've got a good crop coming from the minor leagues with some veterans and maybe small free agent signings, you know, middle relievers and things like that, bats off the bench. And they play well, but once everybody's contracts start coming up and guys have earned the right to make these bigger contracts, the smaller market teams can't afford to pay all of them.
Correct.
And they'll lose out they'll either lose out to other small market teams who haven't paid anybody, who are looking to
right.
sell tickets, or they'll lose out to the big dogs.
Right.
Is what you're saying. Every team has
yep.
a chance every year. But nobody
has an
opportunity. The smaller markets don't have a chance to maintain, is your argument.
Right.
Is what you're saying. My comment, the fact that Bryce Harper's going to somebody, and he's right. He will make $400 million in his next contract.
Absolutely.
Which is absurd. But the absurdity is not the dollar amount. What kills Major League Baseball and what hurts teams and what hurts the small market teams, this is what hurts the small market teams, because you and I have argued to the brink off the air, and we're going to get into it a little bit today. Every team has the ability to make money based on their own individual TV deals.
Correct.
Which is different from the other leagues.
Right.
The other major sport leagues, they have league-wide deals.
Right.
And all the teams share that revenue. Major League Baseball has small league-wide deals with Fox, with MLB Network.
ESPN.
With TBS, ESPN. They have smaller deals. But every team, because they play every day, when there's 162 nights or days that the team plays, to put all those games on TV for fans to watch, every market has to have its own TV deal, which is the difference between baseball and all the other sports. All the other
sports totally understand that.
Play three times a week. So, if a market is able to do a high dollar TV deal, that's where the owner's revenue comes from, to where they can afford to pay these players these exorbitant salaries. The problem is the fact that the collective bargaining agreement in Major League Baseball has always been that the contracts are guaranteed. The day you sign that contract for whatever the dollar amount is, for however many years it is, that player is guaranteed to get that money no matter what. Now, I'm sure somebody's going to pipe up and say, oh, well, technically there's always this clause, that clause, whatever. You're right. There are probably certain clauses in there that if you do this, you do that, you lose your money. Like if you murder somebody, if you hijack the President of the United States, if you, you know, whatever, absurd things. But if you bat 200 instead of 300, your contract's null and void? No. You can bat 200 and still collect your $14 million a year. That, my friend, is the problem with Major League Baseball salaries, not the fact that the Washington Nationals will be willing to pay Bryce Harper $400 million or $40 million a year, however you want to break it down. That's not the problem. The problem is the fact that when they sign him, that dollar is based on the value that they feel you're willing to pay.
On perceived value. It's not just perceived value, though, Brian. Brian, it's not just perceived value.
But it is. No individual human being, nobody playing a child's game is worth $40 million.
No, I'm not saying that. I totally get that. My point is this, okay? Yes, you're right. The guaranteed contract is the killer. It absolutely is. It makes, and I'm going to help you with your point, a small market team could afford to pay Bryce Harper $40 million. They really could.
Sure.
The problem is that if it goes wrong, it's a mistake they can't come back from.
Exactly. That's what
it's
I'm saying the problem is. The problem is not that Kansas City or Milwaukee, or let's use your Pirates for an example. The Pirates can pay Andrew McCutchen anything they want to.
Right.
And that's a problem you guys are about to face in another season or two, I believe his contract's up.
3 years. He's got 3 years left.
Okay. If you're going to want him to finish his career in Pittsburgh, you're going to have to pay him $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Because in three years, that's where salaries are going to be.
Right.
Okay. And you're in a catch-22 in the city of Pittsburgh. You cripple the rest of the team, or do you piss off the fans that you don't keep the best player they've had since Barry Bonds?
Right.
Okay. Now, the problem is, Pirates could sign him if his contract wasn't guaranteed, because they could take a chance that, oh, 2 or 3 years is the reason they're cutting him. Well, you know, when we signed him to the $200 million contract, he was batting .325. He was leading the league in hitting. He was, you know, gold glove, all-star center fielder. He's arguably the best player in the National League. But now he's batting .250. It's 15 home runs. You know, he can't even play 150 games. So we're not paying him. So we're cutting him. And we're saving the salary. You can't do that in baseball. And until that sentence I just said becomes part of reality in Major League Baseball, there will always be the haves and the have-nots. There have always been the haves and the have-nots in baseball.
Because there's never been a salary cap. I totally understand that. Can I make a point, though? You're right. There's no salary cap. Should there be one? Absolutely.
It's too late, though. Where do you set it?
Well, hear me out, because you asked me early in the week, well, what would you do? How would you fix it? And I said, well, there has to be a salary cap. Well, we can't do that. Well, let me throw out an idea. Just hear me out, all right? So nobody wants a salary cap because everybody wants to pay whatever they want to pay. So what I'm saying is salary caps aren't, to me, aren't nearly as important as salary floors. The floor to me is almost as important as the cap. You can make the cap $300 million, and that would cover everybody, as long as you make the floor $150. If you make the floor $150, you make a team like the Pirates, and you make a team like the Kansas City Royals. Guys, if you're going to be in the league, you got to pay $150 million, minimum. Minimum.
I'm all for that.
That way
I'm all for a floor. If you're not putting in the ceiling, I'm all for a floor.
The floor has to be there. And I would also do this. Okay, in baseball, actually, I think it's in basketball. If you spend over a certain amount, and baseball does the same thing. If you spend over a certain amount, you have to pay more towards your whatever. They, you know, they throw money in the kitty and split that out. Okay, they fine them. I would do the same thing, but I would make, instead of making a cap, I would make the fine steeper. So you can't, your floor is $150 million. And if you're going to spend more than $250 million, or we'll say $300 million, or $275, if you're going to spend more than that, for every $1 million you spend more than that, you've got to throw $20 million in the pot. I'm making that up. My point is, if you make it to where, okay, you can spend more if you want, but it's going to cost you. And it's really going to cost you. It's not like
they already have that. It's called revenue sharing.
Yeah, but it's not stiff enough. If it was stiff enough, people wouldn't do it.
Yeah, but you got to remember who's voting.
I understand that, but they're getting their way in back.
Why would the owners vote on it?
They're getting something in return because there's a floor. So now, since you put the floor in there, there is no. Currently, they're sharing, more sharing than there has been. I'd get rid of it. Eliminate the sharing. Set a floor. So now the big teams are only going to pay if they go over that dollar amount. So now you've got a floor. Everybody's got to compete at one certain level, at least. And $150 million, that's only $40 million less than what Boston pays out every year. You know what I mean? That's one player.
If you make the floor at $150 million, you're going to have 12 teams have to drop out of baseball.
Okay. And the Pirates could be one of them. And the Pirates
wouldn't be one of them. The Pirates have the revenue coming in to handle that kind of salary. They just choose not to spend it.
They don't actually, though, because they have the – where does their money come from? And we'll talk about this. Where does their money come from? Their money comes from their ticket package. Their money comes from TV and radio revenue. And, of course, sponsorship and everything like that. So their TV package is $25 million, in and around that number. I'm about 99% sure that's the number. That's the number.
There's no way their TV number is only $25 million.
No, it's 25, not 120.
That's what I said. There's no way their TV deal is only $25 million.
It is. It's only $25 million.
Well, that's their fault then.
No, that's not their fault. You've got to have competition. So my point is, in the city of Pittsburgh, it's small. Kansas City's got the same problem. In the city of Pittsburgh, who else is going to broadcast that game? Who are you battling against? Who's Root Sports battling against? Please tell me. I'd love to hear it. Because they're not. There's nobody else battling for that dollar.
Well, KDKA used to broadcast.
They're not. They do the baseball. They do the radio.
They used to broadcast all the baseball too.
No.
Long ago, the galaxy far away.
No, they did it before KBL, but they didn't do all the games. They'd only do a handful. But the point is, they're only getting, and we'll say $30 million, but the number that gets tossed around the most around the city, because I'm up here, is $25 million. Because there's no competition. Nobody's giving them more. They can say, "Oh, that's not enough money. I'm not going to do it." Well, who's going to pay them more? And therein lies the rub. So there's 20. Well, even if it's $40 million, they still have the third cheapest ticket package in the city. They only sell out 22 games a season. Now, mind you, their ticket sales are up, and they're averaging 29,000 fans a game. That's pretty good. That's real good if you consider and they've had better attendance than they've had in their history. But at the end of the day, you add it all up, and you still don't come up with $160 or $180 million. It just doesn't happen. Now, do the Pirates have an owner? Do the Pirates have an owner that could spend extra money? Absolutely. Will he? No, because it's a business.
Well, that's
and at
well,
the end of the day, it's a business. But that's the point. It's a business, and the Pirates aren't the only team in that position.
Yeah,
not.
But it's not a business. But the problem is, it's not a business to every owner.
But it is to some.
Well, then to some, you'll run it like a business, and you won't compete. The ones that don't run it like a business are the ones that win.
But they're not. But they're not. Kansas City.
But you have the opportunity. If your owner was willing to overspend, you'd have a better chance to compete.
If our owner was willing to overspend, we don't know how much of his wealth is. You just don't know enough about Bob Nunning to know. So I'm not going to sit here and speculate. I'm not. I don't know enough about him. I know the fact that he owns a lot of property. I know that he owns newspapers, and he owns a baseball team, and he owns a ski resort, two of them. But guess what? How much is that liquid? I don't know. I don't know how much money he brings in every month. I couldn't tell you. And I don't know how much money he has to spend on this team. But I also know that over the past 5 years that he's been here, they've been successful without overspending. But at the end of the day, when this run is over, and trust me, it will happen in 5 to 7 years, this run will be over. They're going to have to get really bad again in order to beef up the farm system.
Most teams, you say, you're stretching out 5 to 7 years. You're only in the third year of the run.
Right. And
in any sport, it's hard for teams to keep together for more than 5 to 7 years. Even teams that can't spend money.
Okay, but if you're in football, NFL football, and we'll get to basketball here in a minute.
No, I'm even talking about baseball. It's even hard to keep together and keep winning over a 5 to 7 year span, even in baseball. The big dollar
teams. How long
teams.
Has St. Louis been doing it?
They're competitive every year.
They're competitive every year. How about New York Yankees? They're pretty competitive most of the time, aren't they?
Not. They've gone through stretches where they're not.
Yes, but their stretches when they're not has less to do. It has more to do with their internal decisions they make, not by bad choices.
No, they've chosen bad players to spend the money on.
Correct. Now.
But any team takes that.
Kansas City Royals, who just won the World Series, when their luck runs out in 3 years, who are they going out and getting? Because then at that point, nobody's going to the games. So that $120 million payroll that they're all excited about right now is back down to $85 million because they can't afford to do it again. And that's my point.
But you just said you wanted to set a minimum. Where are you going to set the minimum?
Because there is no minimum right now. If you made a minimum, then they would have to do it. But there is no incentive for them to do it. So therefore,
well, listen,
they're not going.
I am a... I'm a 100% believer in if you're not going to have a ceiling, you have to have a minimum. And it's too late for Major League Baseball to set a cap. But they certainly could set a minimum. And the reason I say a minimum is because there are owners out there that are purposely not spending money and pocketing it. They're running their team like a business instead of a baseball team.
Right.
They're taking revenue. Now, the revenue sharing is not allowed to just be profit for the other teams. The revenue sharing has to be spent for baseball.
Well, and here's the kicker. I'm glad you brought up revenue sharing. Here's
well, it
the
has
kicker.
To be. It has to be the revenue
sharing.
No.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But here's the thing. The more you spend, the less of that you get. So part of what has given the Pirates, for example, and Kansas City, for example, an opportunity to pay out over the past several years is this revenue sharing. Is this extra $15 or $20 million they're able to put into the kitty to pay out the players? Well, guess what? Once you get to $105, $110, $115 million, you know how much of that revenue sharing you're getting? Very little.
Yeah.
So there goes a revenue stream. It's gone. So at the end of the day, all this talking I'm doing isn't fixing anything, and it's not going to. But my point is very plain and very simple. There needs to be major fixes in this sport. There has to be. And if they don't, even though it seems like, oh, it's, you know, we've done this before and it's okay, it's not going to be okay. At some point, very soon, it may not happen in the next 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, but you are going to see it. You are going to see a major issue in this sport. And it's going to be because of salaries, how high the salaries are, the fact that teams don't have the revenue coming in to cover that. And to your point, the contracts that are guaranteed, which is a killer. An absolute killer. It goes right along with it.
Listen, I'm 100% convinced that getting rid of guaranteed contracts in baseball will fix 80% of the money problems.
I totally agree because then the Pirates would pay somebody $40 million because as soon as the guy hits 10 home runs and bats 250, he's packing.
Listen, it's absurd that in a sport like in baseball that you pay somebody, you sign them to a the money, and then 2 years down the road they're not performing, but yet you still have to pay them. It's ridiculous. Like the Mets, you realize that the Mets are still paying Bobby Bonilla $1 million a year?
Oh yeah, they're still paying him $1 million a year, and he's locked all the way to the bank
because the contract he signed when he was there at the end of his career, all the money he took it spread out like $1 million a year for the next like 30 years.
Yep.
Because he'd already made a ton of money, and he was like, this way I can take care of my family.
Right.
So the Mets,
guaranteed
the New York
money
Mets
every
still
year.
Write a check to Bobby Bonilla for $1 million every year.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
Dumb organization, smart guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But it's baseball, and, you know, for whatever reason, they allowed themselves to get – the owners allowed themselves into this position, and you're never going to get it back from the players. And major changes need to come about if you think that's the case. And here's the thing. The only way to get it is to change the contract structure, and that will – I guarantee you that will force a player strike. Because why on God's green earth would the players' union agree to, we'll agree to no more guaranteed contracts?
Oh, I'm not saying – there's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube. I get that. Totally get that. I'm saying, though, if Major League – if in 7 years Major League Baseball loses – and they're not going to, but let's pretend for a moment, since this is pretend right now. I mean, the season hasn't started and blah, blah, blah. You know, we're not even – I'm just spitfiring. But let's pretend in 7 years They have to contract six teams. Do you think the players union would
nice,
listen at
it?
That point?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be awesome.
Because if they expand three more times, you and I might be able to get on the roster.
I'm pretty sure you'd have a shot, but not myself.
I mean, it's ridiculous. You want to talk about why baseball is bad? And you know, you see guys with – you made a comment the other day that it's ridiculous. We started talking about this money stuff, and we're starting to run out of time. I'm going to do this quick. The money stuff where, you know, when you have to pay a number three starter, a number four starter $12 million a year. Because
yes,
that's where the scale of the salary cap lands. And baseball has expanded so much, and the quality of pitching at that level is so poor that a number four starter, three starter, that 13 and 15 on the season with a 4.25 earned run average is the guy that makes $12, $13 million a year.
Right. He's no good.
That's sad.
He's not even a good pitcher.
But by Major League Baseball standards, he's the number three or number four pitcher on a team. That's why
right.
That's why anytime a team has like more than two good starters, every analyst and every talking head on ESPN, MLB Network, every other sports network, you, me, every other blogger out there says, oh, this is a team to beat when they get to the playoffs because you got to face three pitchers twice.
Right.
Because nobody has.
Three pitchers.
Every team doesn't even have an ace. Every team doesn't even have that number one guy that the other team is afraid of. I mean, pitching in baseball has gotten so hard. And the funny thing is, we're post HGH steroid era, and the pitching's worse. You would think it would be better. It's actually worse. Because the pitchers
But you know, runs are down and whatnot, so if you statistically it's not worse. But if you look at your three, the only thing that's really changed in the last 10 years and to me in pitching in baseball is the bullpen. When your starters only go in five innings, and that's okay.
Well, that's what's saving you, got, and that's why you got guys of records of 12 and 10.
Right.
Because they might be
otherwise, they wouldn't have any wins.
They might be losing. If guys had to fit, you know, it's amazing and that all starters have to do is go six innings anymore. Realistically.
Yep. Well, and that's considered
because
every
team has a seventh inning guy, an eighth inning guy, and then a closer.
Right.
I mean, so you realistically have like three closers in the bullpen. You know, the idea of a starter, one out of the five guys in your rotation, if once a week he can go eight innings, that's great because it gives those guys a night off.
And that's it.
That's
how
all
it works.
You need.
That's baseball now.
And that is how it works. That is how it works. And it's – so when you see a guy – like you know, say how impressive it is when you see a guy like Verlander or what's-his-face that was with Detroit and now he's in Washington. Drawing a blank, but you know what I'm talking about. Threw a no-hitter to perfect – almost no-hit the Pirates last year until your boy dove into a pitch.
that close. Dove into the pitch.
Yeah.
Yep.
What the hell is the pitcher's name? Anyway.
I can't.
Guys
yep.
like that routinely go eight innings, truly, your true aces, they're very rare. They're very rare. Teams are so built from the bullpen. They're built backwards these days. Pitching. They make sure
yep.
they got the bullpen first and then they get the starters.
Right.
as where the old days it used to be, everybody wanted to be like the Atlanta Braves, where you had four good starters that could give you eight innings every time out.
Well,
you don't have
and that's
that.
The
you
thing.
You don't have that anymore. You just don't have that
right.
anymore. Teams
well,
don't have
and
that.
And here's the other thing, and I'm going to bring, and I'm going to go back to this, because we're going to have to close this out fast. But when the Braves had four great starters, they also had some hitters on that team too. That was a good all-around baseball team that they put out on that field every year. Obviously, the pitching was better. They weren't close to one of the highest payrolls in baseball.
Well, they were pretty up there when they were winning. When they had awful, when they had Smoltz, when they were paying Smoltz, Glavine, Maddux, and Avery, yeah, they were up there pretty well.
I bet you they. I'll do research and we'll bring this up briefly on our next show. But I can almost bet they weren't in the top seven.
Oh, they were top ten, I guarantee.
I just
guarantee.
Top seven.
I'll bet you're wrong. So. I'll bet you're wrong. I mean, the one thing we do agree on, money's getting out of control, but it is what it is. And I've said for years, the only way to fix it is to put a ceiling or put a floor so that
yep.
the other teams have to spend more money instead of just crying that the Yankees and Red Sox and Phillies and Dodgers and Cardinals are overpaying everybody. The smaller market teams have to spend, or
right.
you have to get rid of the guaranteed contracts. That's the only way to get it under control, and neither of those are going to happen, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out as we start getting more and more into these astronomical numbers. But, you know, I'd be surprised if anything drastic happens anytime soon. It'll be several years before we see anything, but...
You're right. In 1998, they were fifth.
Told you.
With
told
61
you.
Million.
And this
you know who was
show
first?
You, the dollar value is different.
You know who was first?
In 98?
Yes, take a guess.
Because
you'll never guess this.
Cincinnati.
Nope.
Probably one of the Yankees.
No, they're two.
Probably the, let's see, 98, trying to think who was good. Probably, San Francisco.
Baltimore.
Or Baltimore, yeah.
Baltimore
was
$71 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yep, you're right. Top five. Until 2001, and then they fell out hard.
Yeah.
We are 90 seconds out, my man. You need to take us home.
No worries, my friend. We were going to talk about the NBA trade deadline, if there was anything major that happened, but nothing did, so we just stuck on baseball the whole time. So we'll go to the site, DYST Now, to check out our guys, Grant and Miles and the boys that do, and Mike, the guys do a great job covering the NBA for us, and Luke, those guys. They'll have all the latest info on the trade deadline. We're going to be talking a lot more baseball as we get into the baseball season, spring training. We'll do a breakdown division by division coming up. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. Once again, thanks to our sponsor, myrtlebeachgolf.net. Hit them up. They've got the Spring Elite Package still out there, starting at $263 at Golfer, which is a hell of a deal. Come to Myrtle Beach. Trust me, I live here. It's worth playing the courses. Tidewater, Prestwick, Arrowhead, Slam Dunk. Call 877-705-2295. Hit them up at myrtlebeachgolf.net. For Jason, I'm Brian. It's been another edition of the Sportsmonger Show. Hit him up on Twitter at PittSportMonger and me at GolfMonger, and we will check you out next week. Have a great one, everybody.